I felt bad singing that close to Jared and Elizabeth because I'm sure I messed them up a little bit, but they're getting some training, so they just have to live with it. And so praise the Lord. And it's good to hear. The trump shall resound, and the Lord, what a wonderful thought. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Well, I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 11. We'll get started in the Word of God here. I want you to be praying for, as I mentioned, Laura Moore, but I also want you to be praying for Miss Chris Bryant. She went in the hospital last night as well after, in reference to a fall. She'd been in the hospital a couple of times, but back in the hospital last night. And so you please keep her in your prayers. And I also want you to be praying for Miss Wampler, Brother Wampler's mother, that is in the hospital this evening as well, getting some things checked out. So we've got a lot of things to pray for, and we'll certainly ask the Lord to bless in those needs. Would you look at Acts chapter 11, verse number 19? Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who then, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek for Saul. I'll stop reading there. We may look at a few verses down past that to the end of the chapter here in just a little bit. But I want to give you the set the stage here. In verse number 19, after they were scattered abroad after the persecution that rose about Stephen. You know, things were getting very uncomfortable for believers. And can I just tell you, it's true still the same today, that sometimes when things get the most uncomfortable, it's really just God moving us further so that we'll do more for Him, because that's what happened. All these people in Jerusalem, they were very, very comfortable. But you understand, God doesn't always want us comfortable. How many of you have been a little uncomfortable when God did something? We all have. And so they traveled here upon the persecution, and they went from Cyprus and Antioch, and they were, as they went though, they were taking the same message that was there in Jerusalem as they were going forward to Antioch and these other places. They were taking the same message that was preached back there. They were causing such a stir that eventually, from the big church up in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas down to see what was going on. They were finding out what was happening at that little church down there in Antioch. They were seeing what's going on. I remember going years ago to the great Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. We'd heard so many things about it. And this church in the day, back in the early 90s, when we were going there, mid-90s, that we were going down there, they were running 50 church buses out all around Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and all that area. And you say, well, that's a lot of churches. Several churches do that. But this was without a Bible college, no Bible college students. This was just good old folks that were running those buses in all those areas. And we would go down there, and we'd heard so much about it. But back to this group of people, there was coming word back up to Jerusalem of all that was going on in that little place of Antioch and what was going on in that church. People from Cyrene were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You can look back in Acts chapter 2, and as those people would have been exposed to the gospel, and then they got scattered out about, and now they're taking the gospel message of Christ to all of these places. And the folks down at Antioch, they have a group there that starts preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And eventually, when word comes to the church in Jerusalem, they say, we're going to go check that out and make sure they're sticking close to doctrine, make sure they're doing it right. And so Barnabas is the natural choice. History says that that's where he was from. So he may have very well known some of the people. And as I preach tonight, I want you to think about this. I entitled it, A Church That Gets Noticed. I'm not interested in a church to get noticed in the world, because the world may not be looking for the right thing to notice a church. But when a church gets noticed by God's people, then that's something different. And I want to take a few things out of this passage here, as right from our text as we look through there. The things that got noticed about this new upstart church, this church in Antioch now that was seeing God's blessings, and so much so that Barnabas, the encourager, Barnabas, the one that was that come alongside of your friend that helped Paul when he was back when he was Saul and got turned transferred into Paul, and that same Barnabas that was an encouragement to him and encouragement to the people of God, he was sent down there, and we're going to look at some of the things that he saw. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, give us your help and your touch, dear Lord. Lord, because I know what's on these pages of my notes, not your word. Your word's inspired, and it's inspired of you. It's holy. It's inerrant. But Lord, my feeble little attempt at writing down some notes are very, very fallible, very feeble. Lord, help us, I pray. If you don't get in what goes on right now, then, dear Lord, it'll be a waste of our time, and I would hate to waste these good folks' time. Lord, I ask you to work in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look at verse number 21, would you? As Paul, or Barnabas rather, gets down there to this little church of Antioch, and maybe it's growing, not such a little church anymore, but I see what happens in this church, and we see in verse number 21, first of all, people were getting saved. Verse number 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Jesus said when he was on his earthly ministry, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If we want to make news or headlines in heaven, we're going to have to get concerned about the gospel. The Bible says that God's more concerned and over the sinner that repenteth than the 99 just persons that need no repentance. And we understand that the way to get news made in heaven is to be a church that's all about the gospel. And this little upstart church, if you want to put it in today's vernacular, this little upstart church gets noticed by the big church up the road, gets noticed some miles and miles away by Jerusalem, and gets noticed because people were coming to Christ. Now, a church like ours or a church like anybody else's, we ought to have pretty brochures and gospel tracts, and we ought to have nice facilities and ministries that are reaching out and all of these things. But if all of those things don't do the one purpose of the church, and that's to get people under the sound of the gospel, then all we've become is a social gathering. And my friend, we must fight for this the rightful place that the church has in getting out the gospel. What good are we to this area of Gray and Johnson City and Kingsport if we're not getting the gospel out? Do any of us need another thing to add to our schedule just to say I go to church services? If you're like most people I know, you've got more to do than you can get done. You don't need to add a Sunday night and a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night to your schedule just because you've got nothing to do. If our church is not engaged and not consumed with the gospel, then we are not consumed with the things that Christ are consumed about. We may see many good things happen. We may see good crowds on Sunday morning, then Sunday night, and we may see some wonderful things, and we may see a healthy budget, and we may see comfortable conditions. We may see all of these things come and go at Buffalo Ridge, but if we don't get the gospel out to the world, will we stand before God fulfilled and happy of what we did? I would submit to you tonight that there's lots of churches that are probably doing a better job of entertaining a crowd than we are tonight. If entertainment is our purpose, then we failed miserably. If comfort is our purpose, we again have failed miserably. If a great oration is what we came to hear, then we again have failed in that attempt as well. My intent to say this to you tonight is that what got this church noticed, verse 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And all that would be true about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that a great number believed, and people in the area, and family members of yours, and co-workers of yours, and I pray God that He would put upon your heart to get somebody in your spiritual sights to say that in the next months, in the next weeks, I long to get that person sitting in the seats of the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church so that they can be preached the gospel to them. What was noticeable about this church was that the souls being brought to Christ. As Brother Hauser is going to the UK, I reminded of an old story that was told of Spurgeon, and he's heard so many things in his time at Crown College, but I'm reminded of a taxi driver, a cab driver, hauling somebody down to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he said that's where he was going. The customer, the fare, said that, and the cab driver said, "You want to be careful going down there. You'll just get converted." And the reputation was, you get very close to that area, they'd convert you. He might not have had everything right in his thinking, but wouldn't you love to be at a place where the testimony was that be careful about getting over there. You may just get yourself converted. These people were getting saved. I see not only that, if you look down in verse number 23, we see they were getting saved. Verse number 21, a great number of them believed. But we see also that in verse number 23, the people were, in verse number 23, God's grace was evident. Look in verse number 23. Who, when he had came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. I'm not sure of everything that went by or went on, and I'm not sure of everything of how it happened, but I do know that the Scripture clearly says when Barnabas, he came and he had seen the grace of God. A Spirit-filled servant, Barnabas, comes down from Jerusalem, finds his way to the church, the little meeting of Christians here, and when he sees it, he gets down there. The inspired Word of God says, when he had seen the grace of God. I wonder sometimes what people see when they come into our churches. Do they see the grace of God, or do they see the carnality of men? What if somebody were to carefully observe all of our conversations after a service? What if somebody, an unbiased observer, was to hear all the conversations that went in, somebody up here and somebody back there and somebody out in the parking lot? Would they be God-honoring? Would they say, wow, the grace of God was evident? Or would they say that speech probably shouldn't be named at a so-called church? Convicting, isn't it? Remember what the Bible says about every idle word one of these days we'll give an account for. My friend, I see that Barnabas here, as he was coming into the place, he said the grace of God was evident. And we see that the grace of God was obvious and the grace of God was on display. And I pray that we might live our lives as a believer, a group of believers, in such a way that when people would come in the door, they might not be able to put their finger on it and say, that's what it is. They may not be able to describe it so astutely. They may not be able to clarify it exactly. But I pray that when they come in, they would be able to say, there is something different about that place. I remember about 12 years ago, 13, 14 maybe now, but at this point, there was a great revival we were having at Franklin Road Baptist Church. I was on staff there. We had men praying round the clock out by a fire on the back of our property, and we were having that coincide with a revival meeting that we were having. And I really do believe we had a touch of God's anointing on the ministry. My brother-in-law pastor has, or did for years anyways, had in a little box like you put a baseball, a famous baseball, he put one of the coals of that fire that had obviously had cooled down by this point on his desk just to remind himself that there's something different when God shows up. As you look back over your life, was there a time you can remember when the grace of God was evident? Maybe when you first got married, you took your little wife by the hand, you said, we're going to serve God with our life. We're going to be a faithful church. Remember, many of you may have come when Preacher Lassie was the pastor, and you said, we're just going to go there and we're going to serve the Lord together with that man. Maybe it was you in a Bible school setting one time, and you said, I want my life to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember a time when the grace of God was evident in your life? If there was a time like that in your life, and it's not that way now, my friend, could I remind you and beg you to get back to a place where you spiritually or literally get on your knees and say, Lord, I want your grace to be evident in my life. And my friend, that's not conceited and that's not braggadocious. That's just giving all glory to the Lord. And we see here that the grace of God was evident, because as Barnabas came down as an observer to see, and when he came, the Bible says, he had seen the grace of God. Let me give you what else he saw. Verse number 23 as well, we see not only where there's grace of God evident, but we also see that the people were encouraged. You say, where is that at? Look at verse number 23. Who, when he came, saw the grace, seen the grace of God, was glad. And look at this next phrase. Exhorted them all. He encouraged them. He urged them. He pushed them forward and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Let's just take a little poll in here. How many of you have somebody in your life, they're an encourager to you? I do. Don't you thank God for them? Don't raise your hand on this next one. How many of you have somebody who's a discourager to you? How many of you, they're sitting right beside of you? Don't raise your hand on that one. Lord, it's this woman you gave me. That's a different message. And one that I'm not brave enough to preach right now, so I'll get back to you. Barnabas, the Bible says, he exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Barnabas, his name means encourager. He was the one that came alongside. He was that one that would egg you on for the glory of God. All of us went through our childhood. If you're in your childhood now, we've all got people that egg us on to do wrong. But Barnabas was one that egged you on to do right, encouraged you. And the people here were encouraged. I want you to think about this. Before that famous verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Every preacher knows that. We all know that, so we can preach to people, come to church. But can I tell you what it says right before that in Hebrews 10, 24? To provoke unto love and to good works. You know there's a lot of benefits for you coming to church. Look at it, if you will. Go over it. Turn Hebrews 10, 24. There's a lot of reasons all of us ought to come to church. And it's not just because a preacher got up one time and said, hey, you ought to be faithful to church. Although that's a good start, I suppose. But there's a lot of reasons why people ought to come to church. And one of them is encouragement. Now, I'm going to encourage some of you. I'm going to convict. Hopefully, the Lord will convict some of the rest of you. Look at verse number 24. I'll show you what I mean. Verse number 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We all been preached that verse many, many times about gathering together, and we thank God for it. But look at the verse immediately prior. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Right now, tonight, today, who have you encouraged? Don't tell me out loud. It's up to you. I mean, that's between you and the Lord. But who on this earth have you encouraged in the last 2 days? Do you know that's one of our jobs as Christians? Bearing one another's burdens, encouraging one another, lifting one another. And we see one of the benefits of coming to church is that we are able to provoke unto love and to good works. Because you and I know the world's trying to tear all of us down. You think the world cares about your marriage? Nothing would make him happier if you tear your marriage apart. But hopefully a Christian brother or a Christian sister at church would say, I want to encourage you. I want to thank you. You're a blessing. I'm looking at families, couples that I've talked with recently, and you're a blessing. Your couple, your marriage is an encouragement to other people. And that's what God wants us as we come together. And you say, well, does it matter if I even come? Yes, it matters, because we provoke one another to love and to good works. And we're supposed to be a rallying point where you say, you can make it. And if nothing else, you take your marriage, and it's a great testimony of what God can do when people submit to him. And people were encouraged. Somebody told my pastor one day, he said, Pastor, I've got the gift of criticism. I said, brother, that's not a gift, that's a curse. You take your spiritual gifts test, you look at those passages, you're not going to find one that says he's got the spiritual gift of criticism. I can tell you where that originated at. It originated the other place. And my friend, we're supposed to be, and I know some people are naturally better at this, but just because we're not naturally good at something doesn't mean that we get off the hook and say, I don't have to do it. Maybe you came from a home and you're three generations, or you're surrounded by three prominent people in your family tree of being divorces. Does that give you the right to get divorced? You take that as a challenge and say, mine will be different. And so just because you have difficulty being an encouragement doesn't let you off the hook and say, well, I'm just grumpy. Well, la-ti-da. aren't all of us. And if we start letting ourselves off the hook for all that kind of stuff, we'll never rise up and do anything. We're lazy too. We're I was going to say fat, but we're overweight. We're whatever we are. I don't know. We can excuse anything. Metabolism's off. I don't know. Just we're this, we're that. We can excuse almost anything. My friend, we're supposed to be encouragers. And what happened in this church, especially when Barnabas got down there and he came on the scene, the Bible says about him that he started encouraging people. We see that when he got there, the grace of God was evident there. And we see that he started encouraging them or urging them. He was exhorting them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. I ask you already, are you encouraging anybody? This church would be revolutionized if we'd take it as a mission to try to encourage somebody. Somebody said it like this, be nice to everybody because everybody's having a bad day. And I know that sometimes we say, you know, I'm just going to have to get that person. I'm going to have to give them a piece of my mind. Well, what I say, first of all, be careful what you're throwing around. You might not have much left. But also, you don't know how close to the edge that person is. I don't mean the edge of some tragedy. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the edge of just giving it up. Here's what I do oftentimes. I pray, say, Lord, if you want me to talk to so-and-so about that, I pray that you would make it clear that I'm supposed to. Holy Spirit, you work it out so that I get an opportunity. Because sometimes me as the pastor have to delve into stuff with people that I don't like to talk about. And the same should be with you. Before we, instead of us just waiting to fire at somebody the first chance we get, why don't we pray about it? Lord, if you want me to, then show me. And Lord, if you want me to, show me, but then also open that avenue up. People were encouraged. I said, first of all, the grace of God was evident, verse number 23, or people were getting saved, people were encouraged. And verse number 25, let me hurry on, it's 17 after. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. I give you this last one. Ego was of no concern. He said, what do you mean by that? I say ego was of no concern because Barnabas was going to go get the man. Barnabas was going to go get Saul, also known as Paul. Over in Acts chapter 14, verse number 12, when Paul and Barnabas, remember when those people were bowing down to them, thinking they were some kind of deity and they were going to erect statues to them? It says about Paul, because he was the chief speaker, Paul was the natural leader of the group, Barnabas was the one that stepped back out of the way. Barnabas cared so little about his ego or so little about position that he said, listen guys, you're doing great. And he encouraged him, he was there. He says, I'm going to go get the big preacher and I'm going to go bring Paul up here. Caring not. Here he had a group that would listen to him. Here he had a group that might consider him to be somebody. And he says, I don't care about any of that. I'm going to go get Paul, Saul. And as he departed, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, verse number 26, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves. And so Barnabas had to take a back seat to Saul, Paul, because Paul was the natural leader, but Barnabas didn't care. You know what makes a church a great church? Well, we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, see people get saved. We also see that God's grace is working. People are encouraged. But when none of us care, who gets the credit for what happens? One leadership guy said, it's amazing what can happen when you don't care who gets the credit. When we stop caring about who got credit for this, that, or the other, your house or this house, that house or this house would be a lot better place to be. When we stop feeling the need to go announce to everybody who it was that orchestrated that celebration, who it was that got so-and-so to come for that special day, or who it was that arranged that fellowship. Ego was of no concern. Let me read you what James chapter 3 says. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You want to ruin a church? Do you know that pretty much any of us could? I certainly have a head start on any of you. I could do a little faster maybe than some of the rest of you, but any of us could. James chapter 3, verse number 16, we're envying, we start envying, we start being strife-filled, we start having our will, you know, it's got to be my way, the highway, we start having that attitude. The Bible says where those things are, there's confusion and every evil work. You want to bring evil work on the church? Just have it full of strife. Just have it full of envy. That's all it takes. Well, I can't believe they didn't ask me to sing. I'm never shocked that they don't ask me to sing, but some people get that way. Well, I'm surprised they didn't ask me. We've got Brother Foran, our good missionary. He's been here twice, and today, this morning and today, and he hasn't been thought it odd that I didn't have him preach. Brother Hauser is a great preacher, a good man of God, and he doesn't think it odd that I don't have him to preach. Brother Daniel, our assistant pastor, does a great job. He doesn't think it odd. Brother Bob Mann doesn't think it odd. I don't guess they do. Because I'm saying that where envying and strife is and division and all that, the Bible says that brings every evil work, envying and strife. When arrogance and superiority are prevalent, then we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. And so all that we get from when Barnabas says, I'm going to go get the man. I'm going to bring Paul up here. And as he went to get Paul and he brought Paul up there, he knew that Paul, his leadership ability, his style and his presence and would overshadow Barnabas. But he said, that doesn't matter. I feel like he needs to be up here. And so the kind of church in this instance that got noticed all the way up in Jerusalem was one where people were getting saved. And we'll make headlines in heaven. We start seeing people come to Christ and then following Christ and believers' baptism and growing in their faith and reaching out to more people and getting them saved. We get noticed when people get saved. It's joy, brings joy into heaven. God's grace was evident by this good man of God, Barnabas, who went down there. And he got encouraging. If I could have you do one thing in this church this evening, I would say, why don't you pick somebody and encourage them this week? Pick somebody else next week, and pick somebody else the next week, and pick somebody else the next week. Just make it your mission to encourage somebody. You might be the difference between somebody continuing in church and somebody quitting. That's pretty heavy stuff. We've got people come in every service, and this may be the last service they come. And we could make it continue on. And then we ship ego out the door. How a little startup church got noticed by that established church in Jerusalem. I believe these are some of the reasons. If it's good enough for them, I believe it'd be good enough for us. I trust that you'll take these little thoughts and do your part and me do my part to make Buffalo Ridge a church that's pleasing to God. I'll give an account for this church. Me as the pastor. I want to do it with joy. And we'll all give an account for what we've done for Him. May we do that with joy. Bless us, Father, is our prayer. Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't feel like it's been a very great, good sermon. But Lord, I suppose that if you'd get the message to the people and we could see you do a great work, then who cares whether it gets listed as a good sermon? Lord, I pray you've helped your people tonight. Would you stand together as the folks play? And if God spoke to your heart, would you help this church be the church that God would be pleased with? Would you help Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church make headlines in heaven? Would you help this church be a church that has encouragement, that has lifting people on its mind, urging people to rejoice in the grace of God? Would you be the church? Would you help this church be what God wants it to be? I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. Oh, we need the Lord in this church. Would you come and do business with God? Maybe you've not done your best at encouraging other people. You say, that's just not my temperament, preacher. Well, we can get better at it. Would you come? You say, it's not my place to make this church the right kind of church. Oh, really? How would that be at your house if you said, it's not my place to make this family a good family? Oh, whose place is it? It is our place. May we be used of the Lord. Would you come tonight? Thank you so much. We need God's touch upon this place. If it grew to 1,000 and God's touch wasn't on it, what good's that? But oh, if God would get involved. Oh, if the Holy One would come. Would you pray? As these are praying, if God spoke to your heart tonight, and you're here this evening, you're not saved. Maybe you're watching live stream and you're not saved. you're here tonight in this room and you're not saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down on the floor, standing in front of the pulpit I preach from. Love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're saved. If you're a lady would deal with you. Would you step out and come? Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. We are blessed, dear Lord. We've been blessed with buildings. We've been blessed with finances. We've been blessed with attendance. We've been blessed with good camaraderie. But, dear Lord, we beg for more. Oh, dear Lord, touch us, I pray. We don't want to be noticed so for noticing's sake, but we want to be noticed for your glory. And I pray, dear God, that your touch would be on us. Well, thank you for all that goes on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I preached a little longer.